So if we have the first slide on, please, Simon. We come today to a new four-part sermon series. The series is on giving. Please do not switch off now. We can tell if you do. Today we're going to see principles behind giving. Next week, September the 13th, Jim Glover, member of our church, chair of the Community Foundation for Surrey, will talk about their work in raising millions of pounds to address acute social need in this, our county. And I'll also be asking next week the question, how much should I give? On September the 20th, the focus will be give to your church. And then October the 4th, harvest, our theme will be live more simply that our grandchildren may simply live. Questions of giving can of course make people feel uncomfortable. I really am half wondering if there will be a fall in attendance at these services in the next few weeks. Be warned, I take a register. I want to say though, that giving, being free to give, actually is good news, essential to our humanity. Giving is one of the crucial practices of a Christian disciple, a marker of how much we have truly found life in God, of how free we truly are. I certainly hope we're going to be challenged in this series. The needs are great and urgent. But my great prayer for the next few weeks is that we will all be further liberated in joy, freed from material things, free to give. The next slide, please. The four principles of giving. Gladness and generosity in simplicity. Full life is found in centering in God. All that we have comes from God. He gives that we give to others. If it's not a sacrifice, it's not giving. These four principles to guide how we give, how much we give. The next slide, please. The first principle then, gladness and generosity in simplicity. I want to say at the start of this series how good life can be, how good it intrinsically is. I'm very aware how blessed Jenny and I were enjoying a few days in Devon last week. Walks in torrential rain on Dartmoor, swimming in the chilly sea, enjoying the company of our daughter and son-in-law through the day and into the early hours of the morning, fueled by good food and drink. I hope and pray, in spite of it all, COVID, economic recessions, the climate emergency, personal ill health and all, you may have a great sense that life is good. God is good. I hope and pray you may have a great sense of gladness, an intrinsic cheerfulness found in a simplicity of life, nature, exercise, conviviality with family and friends. For this sense of gladness, you do not need very many material things, just the essential comforts. For the Christian, life can be experienced as gladness, one of contentment, delight in a simplicity of life. I'm very aware that I say this, that for some of you, personal challenges, including health, are horribly acute, and it is hard to engage with even a simple life of nature, exercise, conviviality. You remain through and through in our prayers. But I hold out that gladness in God is the essential nature of our existence. Gladness is woven into the very fabric of creation. God saw all that he had made and it was very good. Genesis 1:31. Generosity, of course, flows naturally from gladness. When we experience intrinsic cheerfulness, we are free. We want to share. We want to give. We know gladness cannot be found in stuff, material things and expensive travel. We are free to give away of our income and wealth because we truly know we do not need it. And we long for others to have the essential comforts for a life of gladness. The next slide, please. The second principle builds on the first. Life is found in centering in God. As we've seen in sermons a couple of weeks ago, Jesus, our pattern man, our example of how to live fully, live gladly, freely in God. He clearly had an intrinsic cheerfulness found in a simplicity of life of those three things: nature, exercise, conviviality. He rejected wealth. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head, he said of himself, Luke 9:58. And Jesus' teaching, of course, reflected his life. He taught more about money and wealth in relation to the kingdom of God than anything else. He told us not to worry about material things. He emphasized, as in the reading today of the parable of the rich fool, how pointless it is to devote a life to building up wealth. A life is wasted in storing up things for yourself, neglecting being rich towards God. Jesus told us that your, my, our eternal meaning is found in feeding the hungry, bringing water to the thirsty, clothing the naked, tending the sick. Life is found in giving, providing the basic comforts for all. Jesus warned us how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, Matthew 19, verse 23. How difficult it can be for us rich people to see that we do not need a bunch of material things for gladness for life. Jesus summed it all up in his bold statement, "You cannot serve both God and mammon," Matthew 6, 24. You cannot be beholden to money and wealth and know freedom of life in God. Jesus lived and taught a life of simplicity and giving himself in love to death on the cross. He lived, taught, and died that life is found in him, the bread of life. When the early church in Acts chapter 2 and beyond realized this vitality of life in Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, they famously were led to share all their possessions and goods, giving to anyone as he had need, Acts 2:45. This early church knew that life is found in centering in God. Their lives were full of gladness. They were absolutely freed to give. The next slide, please. This freedom in God leads to deep appreciation of the next principle in giving. All that we have comes from God. He gives that we give to others. The writer of Chronicles in the Bible recognized that we have nothing at all without God. Our giving is simply giving back to him, for his world, his purposes. All things come from you, and out of your own we have given you. 2 Chronicles 29:14. In Deuteronomy, we are warned against arrogance about our wealth. You may say to yourself, the writer says, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the ability to produce wealth. We surely need a deep humility about what we have materially. God gives ability, and whether we are rich or poor, is largely a matter of birth. Compare the advantages of being born into an affluent family with a child born into poverty in this country, or even more, a child born into places of poverty and chaos around the world. We are immensely blessed and privileged in what we have received. We have immense responsibility to use what we have for the benefit of others. St. Paul tells us, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. To quote an old slogan, there's enough for everyone's need, but no one's greed. I hope we're seeing that giving is not something that we just do. It goes to the core of who we are, recognizing that gladness and generosity are intrinsic to life in its simplicity. Knowing that full life is found in centering in God. Knowing our material blessing is a gift from God to benefit others. The final principle for today. If it's not a sacrifice, it's not giving. If our giving does not really cost us anything, how are we affirming that gladness is found in simplicity? If there's no real generosity in our giving, how are we celebrating that life, full life, is only found in centering in God? If our giving does not mean we've given up something materially, how are we acknowledging that our blessings are a gift from God to benefit others. Our example again is Jesus, a life of sacrifice, but also a life of utter fullness, gladness. Next slide, please. The four principles then to guide us in giving: gladness and generosity in simplicity. I pray that you experience it day by day. Full life is found in centering in God. You will find more and more of life as you devote, commit yourself to centering your life in God. All that we have comes from God. He gives that we give to others. That deep sense of humility and appreciation of all that God has given. If it's not a sacrifice, it's not giving. Giving is take something from us. It has to be a sacrifice. The word of the proverb perhaps sums up the aim in our attitude to material things. The final slide. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Proverbs 30, verse 8. What do we actually need? What can we be free to give? We're going to look next week then more practically about how much to give, how much we do in our giving. And I hope and pray that you stay with us. Amen.